Hey there, welcome to another Truth Talk where we have real, raw, and honest conversations about life. I'm your host, Jessica Hoddle, and today we're going to be talking about, is God in the bad? But before we get started, I think it's time that, you know, I just haven't said thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for just putting your earbuds in and taking a walk with me, or listening in your car or at the grocery store or wherever it is. I don't think I can thank you enough for just tuning in to what the Lord has placed on my heart to share with you. I really don't take it lightly that you entrust me with these few minutes of your day, whether it's a half hour or 10 minutes. And with that being said, thank you for showing up. And I continue to pray that the Lord blesses you and speaks to you in such a way that it resonates with you. I just love how God will say something from my lips and how it transforms into something in your heart. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And if you haven't yet, I would love for you to take the moment to just leave a rating and review on the podcast. If you've been listening for any length of time and have just been blessed, leaving a rating and review blesses other people and helps the podcast get known kind of in the whole podcast world. So thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up here every single week. It means so much to me. And if you have a favorite episode or a topic that you would love to see addressed, or even a guest that you'd love to see on the podcast, come message me on Instagram at Jessica Hoddle, and I'd love to just get to know you and chat with you some more. Okay, let's talk about this idea, is God in the bad? And I have kind of had this idea going on for quite a few months now, and it really started in Exodus and reading about, I'm going to read the scripture, but reading about when Aaron threw down his staff and it turned into a snake. So let me go ahead and read the scripture. So I have my Bible here with me. And to kind of just give you a little bit of preface, this is where, you know, Moses was called up by God out of the burning bush. And we're really kind of getting into more of Moses and Aaron's ministry as we move forward with freeing God's people, you know, freeing the Israelites and moving into the promised land. And finally, you know, Moses gives up and he gives up his excuses. And God is like, take Aaron with you and just basically listen to the words that I have to say and say them to Pharaoh. Now we're picking up in Exodus 7. And I'm going to read a few. And it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh speaks to you, saying, show a miracle for yourselves, then you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh and let it become a serpent. So Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh, and they did so, just as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. We're in Exodus 7, and that was 8 through 10. Now we're going to read the really juicy part that I love. I'm going to read 11 through 13. But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, so the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them as the Lord had said. There are five things that I want to address that this scripture has just been speaking to me over and over and over again. Number one, no matter how many enemies you feel like you have, or you feel like all the situations and things are coming against you, God is bigger than your problem. We can read in this scripture, and it says that Pharaoh got through the magicians and sorcerers of Egypt. That means it was plural. So Pharaoh thought that the more that he had, the better off his chances were of defeating Aaron and Moses. Aaron threw down one staff, or I should say rod. One rod Aaron threw down. Pharaoh gathered sorcerers and magicians of Egypt so that they could all throw in their rods and turn to snakes. I just love it, right? Because we know the story, but they were in it. if we take ourselves to that moment of being in it, let's think about this. We can imagine what Aaron and Moses might have been feeling. For Aaron's like, okay, I got one rod. I'm going to throw it down. I'm going to do what the Lord had commanded. Then Pharaoh comes in with his other people, sorcerers, magicians. And then however many people were there, they throw down their rods. So now there's one rod against many rods. Can we put ourselves in that position where in this world now, we believe in God and we do what he's commanded, and then all these other things try to come against us. But guess what? God's rod, Aaron's rod, ate up and devoured the other serpents. It says it swallowed up their rods. We can just say amen. God is bigger than your problem. It's not about the numbers, but will you believe and not doubt and not have unbelief in your heart that God is going to come through for you, just like he did as he commanded with Aaron. Number two, the devil will try to dilute God's power. The devil will try to dilute God's power. It is really easy to be convinced that God is not present. Easy to be convinced that God's power is equal to the enemy's. We kind of give the enemy so much power, and it makes us look powerless, as if we don't have authority backed up by God's word, which is power to make the mountain move. So the devil will come along and try to dilute God's power and make it look like, well, here the magicians and their sorcerers, they did the same thing that God did. How is God any different? So we think that in the midst of bad things happening, we think that God is causing them. We think that he's the one that wants them to happen. And meanwhile, the enemy is like, I'm throwing down my rods and nobody's even paying attention to me. The devil will try to dilute God's power. So is God in the bad? Let's keep that question at the forefront of our minds. It looks bad. Can you imagine seeing all the other rods that turned into serpents? But there's a tension in the midst of the good and the bad. God is in the bad, but he doesn't cause the bad because he's with us wherever we go. He doesn't leave us nor forsake us. So that means that even if I'm facing something that doesn't feel good, he's still good. He's in the bad and he's working out the good. It's both. He's just not causing one. And I think that's so important to remember. He's in the bad, but he's not causing the bad. Number three, God is in the tension. God is in the tension, which I just addressed. Number four, no matter what hell it seems like you are facing, God is the creator of all good things. He's in the fire with us, preserving us and refining us. And that is important. He's not allowing us to be swallowed up by the fire or can be consumed by a fire. And that is what's important, is we can't escape suffering, but suffering does not have to become a place of habitation. It's our heart, it's our soul, our mind, will, and emotions that keep us grounded, because it casts your cares, renew your mind, do not worry. Things that scripture tells us that are real. But then we experience those things on earth, anxiety and, you know, worrying and suffering. So where does this fall in? It's our heart posture, because we can have the suffering around us and the bad around us, but we can still find our peace. Let peace rule our hearts and let peace anchor our hearts. Let it be the conductor of our hearts. Number five, keep your focus on the good. God, what are you doing through me and for me? Not why is this happening to me? We often we'll just start lumping all kinds of things together. The car breaks down and you have an unexpected expense, and you easily want to go to that place where it's just like you're feeling like a victim in your life. Like, why is all of this happening to me? Why, like, what did I do to deserve this? But I've learned a few years ago to just say, God, what are you doing through me right now? I know that you might not be causing this bad, and that, you know, people have free will and choice, and we take responsibility for our actions and our words, and not everything happens according to the way I thought they should happen. But what are you doing through me and for me? Not constantly questioning How is this working against me? We want to think about focusing on the good. Is God in the bad? Absolutely. He's in the bad just as much as he's in the good. But the only difference is he doesn't cause all the bad that we see. He has given us dominion here on this earth. We get to speak words of life and hope and edification. And scripture talks about how his word is for correction and reproof and really guiding us to the truth. We're being pruned every single day, but our heart posture towards our circumstances and our situations matter. Just like when Aaron and Moses, in thinking about the one rod versus the many rods, but knowing that God called and commanded Aaron and Moses, is the same for us today, that he has commanded you for the call on your life. So no matter what it feels like, no matter what is surrounding you, God has a rod that is about to swallow up the enemy's rods. It doesn't matter how many hands the devil has in the fire. It doesn't matter how many rods that the devil keeps trying to throw down at you. Friend, I want you to hear this. You've already won. You can rest in the place of victory. You do not have to work for your victory. It has already been done. God is in the bad. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is within you. He never leaves you nor forsake you. He's in the good and the bad, but he's just not causing the bad. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough, smart enough, pretty enough, thin enough, strong enough, worthy enough, or doing enough? If so, then my book, Know Your Worth, is for you. It's not uncommon to feel inadequate, whether it's issues surrounding your career, relationships, or finances. You will discover gems to apply to your own life as I take you through my journey of how I was able to overcome pain by realizing my worth wasn't tied into things or people, but God. In my book, Know Your Worth, I will show you how to stop settling for relationships that do nothing but cause you pain, how to refuse to settle for anything less than God's best for your life, and how to recognize that no matter what your past looks like, it doesn't have to be your future. Go to jessicahoddle.com/books to get a copy of Know Your Worth today.